Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Dakota Franklin Kicking Bear Brown was young when he started advocating for change. He'd seen his peers and family members in his Wilton Rancheria Miwok tribe struggle to keep up with school, so he launched a nonprofit to bridge the gap. As a teenager at Argonaut High School, he advocated for the passage of legislation that banned the use of the term Redskins for high school mascots. That bill was signed into law in 2015 by then-Governor Jerry Brown. In this conversation we had in 2017, Dakota Brown talks about the history of the word Redskins, as well as the backlash he faced when the law was passed. Today, he's a student at Stanford University.
I'd like to introduce myself in my native language real quick. Machuksus kuchayama, kanioyase Dakota Brown, kan unuthu unuk tamileto, kanilaksum jaksumu. So, hello, Beth. It's amazing to be here. My full name is Dakota Franklin Kicking Bear Brown, and Kicking Bear was given to me by my father, and Franklin is a family name coming from my great-great-grandfather.
There's such an image of you being a newborn just kicking away.
Yeah.
What did you grow up knowing and believing about Native Americans in California, or at least within maybe the Miwok tribe?
My parents have always kept me really culturally active, even from a very young age. I've grown up with our traditions. I've grown up dancing with my tribe, performing our traditional ceremonies, singing our traditional songs. And so my parents have always had me really culturally active. My auntie, she's very involved. She was there for the occupation of Alcatraz back in the day and stuff. And so she's really made sure that, you know, I've been very, very immersed in my culture.
Let me take you to high school, 2012. You were looking around at that point and observing what other friends were struggling with, or at least going through, and it prompted you to form a nonprofit. Can you tell me more about that time and what your vision was?
Back in 2012, I was getting ready to go into high school, the middle of my eighth grade year. I had learned really, really alarming statistics. Native youth have the highest dropout rate, the lowest graduation rate, especially young Native men have the highest suicide rate. So many more statistics that go along with being a young person and being Native in the United States. One of my cousins had like a 0.38 GPA. Staff at the junior high school told him, you know, if you don't get your grades up, you're not going to be able to promote to high school. And even if you do get to high school, you're not going to be able to play football if your grades aren't good enough. He's one of the best athletes I've ever seen. Incredible, incredible football player. I started working with him, just invited him. After school, we could work on homework, maybe try to make up some assignments you've missed. And we kept at it for a couple weeks. And
he let you help him?
Yeah, he let me. We were close. We played football together, always hung out at school. And I didn't have to pry too much because we had already had that relationship. And so he let me help him, and we worked together for a couple weeks. And by the end of the school year, he was able to promote to high school. He had 3.8 GPA from a 0.3. From 0.3 to a 3.8. Yeah. Out of that was born NERDS, Native Education Raising Dedicated Students. That's kind of our whole philosophy of NERDS, is peer-to-peer mentoring, students helping other students instead of having a teacher or a parent always on your back telling you, this is what you need to do.
Let's fast forward to 2014, and you became involved in the push for a piece of California legislation that was written to ban the use of what became known as offensive mascots in California public schools. Would you give a little more context to the offensiveness? Tell me more about why the argument worked in California.
Absolutely. I think a lot of it is just the history behind the name, and the history behind the name along with what students go through. And the history, the term Redskins, I personally don't like to use it, but that term, it was a bounty on Native scalps. Settlers would kill Natives, take their scalps, and that was proof of kill. If they provided that to the government, they got their bounty. They would collect however much money, and that ranged from 25 cents up to over $200, depending on the region. And Peter Burnett, California's first governor, issued a bounty here in the Sacramento Valley. That was something that my tribe was deeply affected by. There's this history not just in California, but across the nation, of these bounties being placed on Native people referred to as Redskins. And so there's that deep emotional history. And, you know, I commend the California legislature for acknowledging that. For me, it was football games. The things that the school who had the mascot did, those were hurtful. But some of the more hurtful things was what was happening on my own sidelines, where we had fans who would be yelling, kill the Redskins or scalp them or things like that, where maybe they don't think it's offensive because it's just a mascot. They're not talking about real Indians, but you have a real Native person there and, you know, that's going to affect them. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel accepted by my own community because, you know, they were willing and able to chant slurs and, you know, say scalp them without any consequence.
The California Racial Mascot Act then was passed with bipartisan support. It was signed into law in October by Governor Brown. That was October of 2015. You continued to go to school at Argonaut and your teams played that opposing team. Was there any backlash?
I actually had a good amount of support at Argonaut from my friends and especially the teaching staff, who was a little more understanding. But what really got me was I had a lot of backlash from adults in Calaveras County who were alumni of the school, which, you know, I got it from students at Calaveras as well. Little things here and there in passing or at football games and stuff. But the worst was from adults, which I found weird because, you know, they had already graduated. They should be mature. But a lot of the hate speech and a lot of the backlash was from older people. And I even got a couple letters in the mail from some hate mail from people. Especially if there was an article online or something, the comments on articles would always be awful. I didn't read them most of the time just because, you know, it's not conducive to what I'm doing.
Dakota became the youngest person ever appointed to serve the president in an official position when President Obama appointed him in February of 2016 to serve on the National Advisory Council on Indian Education under the U.S. Secretary of Education. That was a powerful position for a very young person. What voice came with that position?
A lot of responsibility that came with that position. A lot of weight on my shoulders. I didn't want it to just be my voice at that table. I wanted this to be an opportunity to hear from other Native youth what I should be saying in those meetings, to hear what is affecting them in their communities. You know, being that this was a council on education, we needed to hear the voices who were being affected.
In fact, we have a clip of President Obama speaking at the Tribal Nations Conference. This is just 1 month after the law had been passed and signed by Governor Brown in California. So this is the president talking about school mascots.
If you're living in a society that devalues your culture or perpetuates stereotypes, you may be devaluing yourself. So we have to preserve those bonds, break stereotypes. I believe that includes our sports teams.
How life-changing was all of this? Here's an issue that you worked for that changed law in California, and then the president is speaking the same language and message to the entire country.
It's amazing. I was there for that speech, and it was incredible hearing him mention that, hearing him say that. It was kind of a point of validation for the work that I had been doing. And I think that it was validation that Native youth voices are being heard. Because a lot of the mascot fight that I was working on was Native youth working in California, protesting, getting signatures on petitions. And a lot of fights in Indian country have been led by youth. And so that's really big. I think that that was kind of the point where, you know, I said, okay, people are hearing us. If we've got the president's attention, he's talking about mascots, then our work is paying off.
You can hear more of our favorite shows at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.